Good evening and welcome to This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football. I'm your host, Joe Uccello. And tonight, we are coming up with our Serie A preview for the 2018-2019 season. Joining me, as always, my co-host, Mr. Roberto Rojas, and special guest, Mr. Matt Santangelo from Italian Football Daily. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining me tonight. As you both know, Serie A is a league that is very, very close to my heart personally, one that I watch avidly and I follow quite a bit. Last year's champion Juventus, certainly a fantastic season for them, but one of the best races that we saw in all of Europe. So, Rob, I want to throw over to you first and get your recap from last year's Serie A season, and especially how it blends into this year.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was definitely one of the more exciting European seasons, and especially finishes out of all the top five leagues in the world. Certainly, I think many people thought it would be a different change of the guard. You know, many people were looking for Napoli to break that stronghold that Juventus has had the last few years, but in the end, they came in and they won their seventh straight Scudetto on the day with 95 points. Rounding off in second place, just 4 points off, is Napoli, who had a sensational season with players such as Dries Mertens, Jorginho, the wonderful job of Mauricio Sarri, I mean, who's obviously now at Chelsea, but certainly a wonderful story of people just looking at them and really just thinking to themselves that they were able to really break that stronghold by Juventus, but unfortunately didn't go that way. Roma, who did make it to the semifinals of the Champions League, you know, under Eusebio De Francesco, really did well. Also in Serie A, finishing third. In fourth, the big race that we saw on the last day, we saw Inter with Spalletti in charge, and players like Mauro Icardi, who did finish as Capocannonieri with Ciro Immobile of Lazio. Only Inter would qualify to the Champions League and straight place in the Serie A with Lazio just missing out. Despite having the same points as Inter, missing out on goal difference, they are dropped down to the Europa League alongside Atalanta, who will be in the second qualifying round, and Milan, who, you know, is kind of weird because they were originally banned from the European competition due to violations against financial fair play regulations, but were appealed to the Court of Arbitration for Sport, and the ban was overturned just a couple of days ago. So, Matt, I mean, jumping in real quick, obviously, you know, it was a sensational season that we saw, you know, really to the end where you saw many teams fighting it out, but really you kind of saw a new version again of the Serie A of old, you know, teams like Juventus, teams like Napoli, Roma, Inter, Milan, Lazio, you know, those really dominant teams that have been so accustomed to being successful in the past. But do you feel that the season that we had last season with that dramatic finish that, you know, is just the first of many that we'll see in the future?
I think in terms of the Scudetto race, I think that was probably going to be the most exciting. Again, you know, things can change. But when I look at the Scudetto race, you know, moving forward past last year, because last year was one of the most exciting ones I've seen in recent memory. Of course, obviously, I know you touched upon that just a moment ago. I think when you look at what Juventus have done in adding Ronaldo, that's kind of that signal to the rest of Italy that this is Italy belongs to Juve, it belongs to the old lady, and I think again that there is some room for teams to push them to the limits to perhaps maybe compete for Scudetto, whether it be this year, whether it be next. But I think when you get a guy like Ronaldo, the intent there is to have this reign last and push, you know, it, push this reign forward to where, you know, not only Juve are going to, you know, be the cream of the crop in Italy, but also push forward for, you know, a treble. And, you know, I'm specifically, you know, referring to the Champions League, which has been the thing that's evaded them for nearly two decades at this point. So I think there is room. I think the Scudetto race is probably going to still be, you know, it's going to be, I think, tight at some points, but I think overall Juve are just the cream of the crop. I think it's, it goes without saying that they have the most talent top to bottom. They're stacked to the brim despite losing, you know, Buffon, their captain, to PSG. I think what last year told us is that there's room for other teams. There's room for teams to jump in here at the top four to really compete and really make Serie A a more deeper league. And what I mean by deeper league is instead of having two to three good teams or top teams, have maybe five to six. So again, you saw what happened last year: Juve, Napoli. You had teams like Roma, who looked very well. They made a semifinal run in the Champions League, which was very impressive, beating Barcelona. Then you have Inter, who's obviously making their way back. They've had a great summer. I was just doing a podcast with someone else, and I couldn't, you know, praise them enough. Although I'm a Milan fan, I gave them much credit for what they were able to do this summer so far, and they're still acting, possibly trying to get Arturo Vidal. And then you have Lazio, and you have teams even like, you know, again, Milan, they're still kind of trying to find their way. They're trying to establish their project to where it can be sustainable. But if you're really looking at, there's teams like Atalanta, there's teams like Sampdoria, who at certain points last year played really good football, and they weren't far off from even being a top four team. Again, you know, we saw how it ended again, like teams like Sampdoria, teams like Milan, you know, even Fiorentina in Torino for another one. They kind of slipped in, and you showed their true colors as being not quite there. But I think it speaks volumes to that. Last year gave us some clear indications that perhaps Serie A is on its way back to being you know, one of those leagues that's very deep, that has, you know, it's not just Juve and Napoli and then everyone else. It's Juve, Napoli, and, you know, and then some. So that's what I'm hoping to see moving forward, is just more competition, more teams like Napoli, Roma, Milan, Lazio, Inter push for a Scudetto, not be content with finishing third or fourth or even in the Europa League spot, because at this point right now, I think it's quite clear that Juve they're the consensus favorite for the Scudetto this year. But I think what I want to see from some of these other teams, like Inter specifically, and I think they're showing their intentions, is to say, okay, look, we got back to the Champions League. Now what's our next goal? Our next goal is to chase for a league title. Our other goal is to get, you know, to a good quality stage in the Champions League. And I think that's what we really want to see from these Italian teams. Not sit back, not be content with what they've already accomplished. Just continue to press forward and to continue to charge Serie A into the limelight, which I think happened last year with the Scudetto race, it goes without saying. And on the final match day, as you mentioned earlier, with Lazio and Inter. But just continue to push the limits, continue to show the rest of Europe what Calcio is all about and what type of talent we have here.
No, absolutely, I agree. And I think when you look at it, and Joe, you know, going into my next question as a follow-up, obviously, you know, what we saw last season could be a reminder. And also, I think, of the consistency that Serie A teams have been able to do, especially in European competitions. You last mentioned the last time a Serie A team won a major European title was 2010, when Inter won the treble. But certainly, at least Juventus, and especially the other teams that have qualified to the Champions League and the Europa League stage, that, you know, they have the quality to definitely go far in those competitions, to, you know, have that kind of general consensus to the entire world that, you know, the Serie A is really getting serious, and it was, and going back to the glory days of the 90s, where it was considered the best league in the world, and certainly getting the top players that we'll mention in a couple minutes, you know, just really helps them be much more motivated into this competition, like the Champions League or the Europa League. I mean, what are your thoughts on that, Joe?
Well, I think, you know, I think you bring up a great point about the fact that we're kind of at a level now where Serie A is ready to, as a whole, is ready to take the next step and make the necessary changes to go to that next level and be one of the absolute best teams. You look back, I'm just looking at the top five teams in Italy from last season, and of the five teams, four of the top five are actually changing goalkeepers moving into the new season. Juve, we've talked about Gigi Buffon before, and the fact he's left for PSG. Napoli with Pepe Reina has now left and gone to Milan to be the backup to Gigio Donnarumma. We look at Roma now, who lost to Alisson Becker and have now made changes to Meret for that season because Becker went over to Liverpool. We've got consistency with Samir Handanovic over at Internazionale, but then Lazio loses Marchetti, which I believe he went off to Genoa on a free. So there's, you see a little bit of the focus of making those moves or having no fear to make the moves to do what they need to do to make that, to get to that next level. Because I think ultimately, with the fourth position now in the Serie A that has been given for the Champions League teams, you see teams looking to not only get into that top four, but maybe even to challenge Juve and give a good showing on the European spots, because that's really where the big, big money is. And you look back on these teams, you know, highly competitive league last season. Juventus, everyone will point to them and go, oh, they won the Scudetto again, they won the Coppa Italia, but they didn't return every trophy that an Italian team had an opportunity to. You've got to remember, way back in last August, it was Lazio that beat Juve for the Supercoppa. So, you know, there is enough of a of a competition there that we can have multiple teams challenging for the Scudetto title, and it's never truly just Juve's year in and year out. But let's move on to our next section of the show and look at the teams that are coming up now. And I think these are a couple of great, great stories coming up with the newly promoted sides. We see the first one who won the Serie B last year in Empoli. They're returning to the league for the first time since 2017, where they were knocked out on the last day by Crotone. Crotone beating Lazio, and Empoli was the hard luck loser going down into Serie B. We have Frosinone, who's another tiny, tiny team, which actually I was doing a little bit of research at the beginning of the show, are one of the many teams, and we're seeing this a little bit more in Italy, that's risen from the ashes of bankruptcy. They suffered bankruptcy in the early 1990s and are back into the Serie A for the first time since 2016 when they were eliminated. And then when we talk about bankruptcy, we talk about Parma. Parma coming in now, winning the playoff spot in the Serie B, second place overall, and are returning for the first time since 2015. Four straight promotions for this side to move their way back into the Serie A. They also are the highest spending team of the three teams coming back in, where they've spent, they're a negative £6 million compared to the other teams, which are in the £2 million range. I'm concerned about which team is possibly going to be able to stay up. And I want to throw this one at you first, Matt, before I throw that same question to Rob. Which team do you feel is best suited to stay up in the Serie A and not be relegated again? And my concerns are with Empoli, although winning the Serie B last year, sold Samponara in this transfer window, which to me, as their best player, really just seems a little of an odd choice. So who do you feel is the best team set up to stay in the league this year?
I think it's so difficult to judge, right? I think every year we're looking at the table, and you know, we saw at certain points last year where a team like Sassuolo, who've been predominantly in the mid-table under Di Francesco for several years before he obviously went to Roma, and they were flirting with relegation at one point. I think they were like 2 or 3 points out of the bottom three, and then they were able to have a good second half and push themselves out of that zone. And then, of course, you saw with Crotone, Spal, and Benevento. I mean, some of these teams, and look, I think what we have here is a situation where a lot of these teams, I just don't think they have a lot of staying power. They are not built to last in Serie A. Again, there's really just been a few exceptions of clubs that have been able to get promoted to Serie A and then kind of just stay there and continue to stay afloat. I guess the best question, aside from the teams that got promoted, Frosinone, Empoli, and Cordoceppe Parma, which has been one of the greater stories in European football in the past couple years with their climb, is which teams in Serie A we associate as Serie A clubs over the past, call it 5-6 years, do we think are possibly going to get relegated? I think that's probably the more important or a little bit more interesting question to ask, because you see some of these teams like Chievo, you see some of these teams like even Genoa at certain stages where they look awful, for lack of a better term. And you wonder if, this is... I've seen people have discussions saying, is Serie A, should Serie A go to an 18 team league? And that's certainly interesting, because you look at the kind of the disparity in talent between let's say 14th and 15th, and then like the bottom three, it's quite big in my opinion. You're seeing teams like Benevento, who of course they got their first point against Milan last year with a goalkeeper. Don't want to go back to that, but you look at some of these teams and just the drop off in talent is just so drastic, and you wonder if the future for Serie A is with 18 teams. It remains to be seen as to what that's going to happen. Again, you're looking at teams like Chievo, who they're able to avoid bankruptcy, it looks like, at this point, although there's some things still going on with them. But you're looking at some of the dynamics of some of these teams, or the setup of some of these clubs, if you will, where you wonder if can they really last? Can they really stay up in Serie A and have staying power? And I think that's kind of the biggest thing for me in terms of when I look at Serie A on the bottom of the table. It's not the teams like Parma, who I love to stay up because I think it goes without saying, they have that history, they have that reputation as being a Serie A club prior to their bankruptcy and their drop all the way down to Serie D several years ago. So For me, if I'm going to go back to the main question here that you guys asked, is who has the most the highest probability of staying? I think it would be a team like Parma. I mean, they added Amato Cicciaretti, who was on loan with them last year after staying at Benevento. He actually helped Parma get that promotion to Serie A. He moved to Napoli on a free transfer, I believe, for a minimal cost, and now he's back on loan to Parma. So I think for me, Parma could be one of those teams where they kind of just continue to kind of, you know, thrive off, you know those maybe not enough a ton of talent, but that energy, that passion, that togetherness that really got them back all the way up to Serie A from Serie D. So if I had to choose a team that would probably say, I'd probably say Parma, but I think it's a toss-up at this point because I've seen some really poor football over the past several years from these bottom three, four, even five teams. And I think it really, this could be one of those years where maybe a team like Parma or Empoli stay up, and maybe a team like Chievo or like a Genoa or someone like that just, you know, makes the drop down. So it's going to be interesting to see. That's what was so fascinating about, for me at least, about Serie A last year, was there was so much going on at the top with the Scudetto race and the chase for top four, but the bottom of the table and the chase to stay up was almost equally as entertaining and kind of, you know, embarrassing at some points, if you will. But generally speaking, I would say Parma are probably the best team or the most likely to stay up.
Sure, and I want to kind of throw the same question at Rob, because, you know, you start to factor in the Spals of the world, and even a team like Genoa, who only finished 6 points ahead of Crotone, staying up in the Serie A, and then selling their goalkeeper, Mattia Perin, to Juventus. We all know about that. So, Rob, you know, kind of the same question to you. You know, is it Parma? Is it Empoli? You know, does Frosinone pull off a miracle? What do you think?
Yeah, it's tough. And I mean, yeah, going back to the race, actually, you do make up a good point. You know, Crotone did get relegated with 35 points. Spal, you know, the last team that, you know, that wasn't in the relegation spot had a 3-point gap. But you look from 17th to 12th, where Genoa is, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you have 6 teams there, and it's a gap of just 3 points. And that's just incredible how, as Matt said, the race that we saw, not just at the top, but also at the bottom. But I think the good point would be, I mean, look, we saw what Spal did. You know, they made it to Serie A last season. I think it was for the first time in, like, almost 50 years or something like that. And, you know, we saw that. We saw how they were able to be saved on the last day. But I still think that when you're looking at the, you know, and Matt made up a good point about how there's such a big drop up between teams in the mid table tier of Serie A to like the lower tier, but not in the relegation zone tier. You make up a good point. You know, if I had to choose one team, I think it would have to be Parma. I think they stay up more than anyone. I think Frosinone and Empoli, while they do have the history of being at Serie A over in the past few years, I just think that Parma, given such a the history that they have, but also just the whole story that they've been going through and that ambition, I feel that, you know, they want to go for more, and I feel that they can even go into the season and surprise some. Will that happen? It's yet to be found out. We don't know. But I think that when you're looking at a team like Parma and you know, with the history that they have, and of course, I'm sure the ambition of all the players out there, that they want to achieve something, and not just achieve something and just stay in the Serie A for another season, be safe in that matter, but, you know, try to go for something, try to go for more ambitions, you know, go for mid-table or go and fight it out for those European spots. We don't know if that's going to happen, but I think that's the ambition and the mentality that they want to have. So I would have to pick Parma as the team to stay in Serie A next season. But having said that, you know, going into new teams, we have to also look at new players that are happening in Serie A. Obviously, we'll mention the big elephant in the room in a second, but obviously some of the big moves that we saw, and maybe actually we'll even mention some of the moves that, you know, left Serie A. Obviously, the big ones would have to be Alisson from Roma. I think, for me, the best goalkeeper in Serie A last season, going to Liverpool for £65 million. You know, you saw the transfer of Jorginho with Mauricio Sarri to Chelsea. You know, you saw Felipe Anderson go to West Ham. Lucas Torreira, which I know, Matt, you're a huge fan of, as we've seen in the past few months, I would say. Him going to Arsenal. You know, you saw a bunch of moves being made, but you also have to look at the new players coming in. I mean, obviously, you know, you saw Douglas Costa staying at Juventus after that loan for 40 million euros. You see the transfer of Raja Nangolan from Roma to go to Inter. You saw Joe Cancelo going to Juventus, Emery Chan going to Juventus, Lautaro Martinez, who was ready to make that, I would say, Argentine duo with Mauro Icardi over there at Inter. You know, you mentioned Alex Moret as the new goalkeeper for Napoli. You know, you mentioned Olsen, the new goalkeeper for Roma. You mentioned Perin, obviously. You know, there's so many transfers going on, Pastore, among other players. But, of course, the big one that we have to go here, and obviously, Joe, I'm going to go to you first as the Juventino, is the big transfer of Cristiano Ronaldo, you know, leaving Real Madrid after 9 years to go to Juventus. I mean, this, it was a rumor for some time, and it did shock the world, but I think when you look at it more, you look at a good 33-year-old Cristiano Ronaldo, who is at the top of his career, I would say, even, you know, at 33. I mean, he's certainly going for that ambition, is to, and then what Juventus have been trying to do desperately is win the Champions League. When you get a player that has done it in Manchester United, and doing it around Madrid to dominate the two toughest leagues in the world, you know, and winning titles over there, and especially the Champions League. I mean, this is a big move, not just for Juventus, but I think Serie A as a whole, and of course, Italian football in general. But how do you feel about all this?
Well, I mean, you know, as a Juventino, I'm happy for the move. I think it's a huge key. For the Serie A, I'm ecstatic for the move, because the move shows that, you know, the Italian league is not necessarily a selling league where they're just getting rid of players. You know, they're kind of that next level underneath England and Spain. They're showing that, you know, we are returning back to prominence here. We are going to stay back on this large stage. And the Ronaldo move kind of shows that. Now the Italian teams are in play, especially the bigger teams that have a little more money. Milan started to flex their muscle a little bit last year, although, you know, almost got slapped for it, and the funding was questionable. But they started to make those types of bigger moves and spend that kind of money, where you see the, you know, the Barca's of the world spend money. You see the Real Madrid's. You see a lot of the English teams spend money at that level. Now you see Juve starting to do it. You start to see, you know, Milan from last year start to do it. You see Inter start to flex a little bit of muscle here. And I think it's a sign. I know we can always go back and look at the teams that have declared bankruptcy in Italy, and maybe we have an imbalance in Italy and in the Italian leagues with the lower teams, you know, losing all this money and filing bankruptcy, but the bigger teams are spending that money and bringing these players in. But I think in general, the acquisition of a Cristiano Ronaldo type player for the Serie A is a good thing, because it shows that there is another big league in Europe that is willing to spend money, and it's a place where players will want to go and play if they feel it's some of the best competition in the world. So Matt, I want to throw it over to you. I'd like your opinion on what the Cristiano Ronaldo move means for the Serie A, what it means for Juventus, and maybe some of the other moves that we've seen happen so far in and out of Italy, and what it kind of means for the league in general.
Well, I think the Cristiano Ronaldo addition for Juve, first off, from their perspective, or their standpoint, beyond goals, because obviously everyone knows that Cristiano Ronaldo is a prolific goal scorer. He has been for his entire career, pretty much ever since he moved to Manchester United from Sporting. But beyond that, I think the biggest thing that Cristiano Ronaldo is going to add to Juve is that champion presence in the locker room. I think Juve has so many great players, and they have for several years. I mean, even when they made that first Champions League final in 2014-2015, when they lost to Barcelona, they had Vidal, they had Pogba, they had Pirlo, Marquisio was healthy, they had BBC, they had Buffon, Tevez. Like, they had quality players. They had some, you know, some star players on their team, it goes without saying, and pretty much throughout the entirety of this reign they have had. But I think what Ronaldo brings is he brings that champion presence. And there's a lot of these younger players, you know, again, if Rugani stays or Caldara stays or, you know, Bernardeschi, and just anyone in general. I think it doesn't go, you know, it doesn't really have to be limited just to younger players. But I think what Ronaldo's presence does to this team, they're going to gravitate towards him because they know that he's the guy. He's one of the top three, if you ask me, best players ever. I think, you know, and however you want to categorize any players that you consider, I think it's very subjective. But overall, I mean, it goes without saying, Messi and Ronaldo have been the best two players in the world for the better part of a decade. So when you have that in the locker room, people start to take notice. What's this guy do? What does his preparation look like? I mean, I saw the medical reports of his when they came out. I think it was earlier this week or late last week that he guy's still in insane shape. You know, he's still, you know, he's got this guy's that are, you know, 22, 23 aren't in the shape that he's in at 33. So again, it speaks volumes of the guy's preparation, his dedication. He's not out partying. He's dedicated to his craft. He's been dedicated to his craft for, you know, his entire career. And I think that's what's ultimately a lot of the Juve players are going to take from him, is that preparation, that championship demeanor, and what it takes to ultimately get a Champions League trophy and how to win and be the best professional you can be. And for Ronaldo, I think that's really one of the biggest things he's going to add to Juve. But in terms of Serie A and what his addition means, I think it moves the needle quite a bit. And what I mean by move the needle is that there's going to be a lot of clubs. We saw last year where even you know, fans of, you know, Premier League clubs or La Liga clubs, Bundesliga, Liga 1, all these teams stopped to take some notice here of what was going on in Italy with the race, with some of these young talents, young talented players like Torreira and even Jorginho, who obviously is 25, 26. But they've stopped to take notice, and they become more aware of the quality that Serie A is at this point. And I think what Ronaldo does is it's that last, in my opinion, that last big hammer. That what it does, it kind of, you know, it's a statement signing. It goes without saying, when you spend that money, it shows that a team like Juve, they're able to attract the big name stars. They're gonna be a destination for some of these big players. It's not just, okay, well, they're gonna go to Premier League. Okay, well, they're gonna go to Spain. Now all of a sudden, there's going to be a lot of players that look at Italy and they observe it in a different way. They say, "Well, Ronaldo went there at 33. Like, he's still just mind you, off the back of a Champions League trophy with Real Madrid. Like, that doesn't happen often for a guy that of his status after winning the Champions League with Real Madrid to leave for Juventus for a new challenge." And I think there's going to be a lot of players that look at him as an example, and they're saying, "You know what? I want to challenge myself. I don't want to stick to the status quo." There's going to be a lot of players in La Liga who are saying, "You know, like, I've won the league with Barcelona this many years, or I've won the domestic cups with Atletico Madrid." And the same thing goes with England. There's going to be players that observe Italy in a different light, and I think that's ultimately what Ronaldo brings to Italy, Serie A as a whole, is that exposure, that appeal, where now people are going to tune into Serie A. What's going on in Serie A? Ronaldo's there. What does he see in this league? And I think that's ultimately a big a benefit of his arrival for Serie A in general. Now, look, I've heard people say, you know, well, what is Ronaldo, you know, what does this do for Serie A? Is it really, oh, Serie A's on the rise again? Because, look, the fact of the matter is, you got teams like Chievo battling some, you know, some issues. Parma, again, you know, they've been docked a couple points. You have everything that's going on in the lower division. So in the grand scheme of things, you look at it and say Calcio really isn't being rescued, if you will, by the arrival of Cristiano Ronaldo. But again, there's so many different factors and so many different things that are going on wrong in the lower tiers. It feels like every day there's a team that's going bankrupt, and it's pretty sad to see, because we obviously know how passionate a lot of these fans are, and a lot of these cities thrive off what their local club is doing, and they take, you know, they take pride in watching their team play. But look, with Serie A, Ronaldo's it's a statement move for sure. It's going to get more eyes and more marketing opportunities and just really more attention, and that's ultimately what we want from Serie A, because the more attention we get, the more we're able to show the rest of the world that, hey, you know, look, Serie A is they're a force to be reckoned with. They have a lot of good talent, they have a lot of good teams, they're on the rise, and they're going to be, you know, perhaps competing with the big boys for the big trophies.
Sure. And, you know, when we look back at the transfer window and the top transfer moves, we were going to talk about Cristiano Ronaldo, of course, coming in, and when we're going to talk about some of these other teams, we'll talk about Jorginho. But one of the big transfers that I think happened in this offseason, and I want to throw it over to you, Rob, to get your thoughts on it, is the transfer of Carlo Ancelotti. We all know about Maurizio Sarri moving over to Chelsea with Jorginho and something of a package. But that happened because Ancelotti was already installed at the new coach at Napoli. So what do we see in terms of coaching change there, Rob, and its effects on the transfer window as well?
Well, I think we didn't really see much of it like we saw last season with all those big teams going for coaches. But I think when you look at a wonderful manager, I would say, in Carlo Ancelotti, it really just sends a message to the rest of the league that, yes, Napoli did have that ambition to win the Scudetto, and, you know, unfortunately fell short. But I think now with a manager like Ancelotti, who obviously has done it all, not just in Italy, but he's done it in France, he's done it in England, he's done it in Spain, he's even done it at Bayern as well. I mean, he definitely has the ambition and of course, the history and the mentality of a winner. And I think that's what Napoli needs. I think, obviously, you know, Napoli haven't won a Scudetto in 28 years. You know, they obviously definitely want to go and one up themselves of what they've done last season. And I think when you're getting a manager like Ancelotti, I think it's great. I think for someone like him to replace such a, you know, a really wonderful manager like Maurizio Sarri, just makes it just perfectly well for Napoli. That I think that it's going to be a tough test. I mean, yes, Juventus are still the favorites because of the quality that they have, and that surpasses, I think, all the other teams in Italy. But I just think that with a manager like Ancelotti, who has that history of becoming such a good man manager and really, you know, having the players be appreciative of him, I think that just helps him even more when you're looking at a team like Napoli, you know, who are just as ambitious, not just to win the Scudetto, but also do well in the Champions League and see what happens there. And I think getting a winner of someone who's been so successful as a manager, as well as a player, as Ancelotti, is that it's the perfect result for it. But having said that, you know, going back into the transfer window real quick, and Matt, I'm going to ask you this first. Obviously, we mentioned Cristiano Ronaldo. I think that has to go as the top transfer in this summer. But for me, I'm going to ask you this. You know, for me, the big transfer for me that I at least the one that I'm most excited for is Lautaro Martinez. I think, you know, leaving Racing and really having that ambition for the last few months of being one of the top stars of South America, you know, being the best, I would say, young player to come out of South America at the moment. Obviously, I think for me, that's the one I'm most excited for, to see how, you know, a team like Inter, who's obviously in the Champions League and, you know, are coming off, you know, a season where you saw Mario Icardi become the Capo Cagnonetti. I mean, that's the transfer I'm most excited for. But for you, out of all the transfers that have happened so far this summer in Serie A, you know, which one are you most excited for to watch?
Whew, that's a tough one, because I think there's been a lot of great moves, and there's been teams that, you know, they're still going to make some more moves. I think, you know, again, Malcolm would have been a great one for Roma. I feel like that would have been one of my top moves, just for the simple fact that when you're getting interest from, you know, all the top teams in Europe, and somehow if Roma were able to make the deal happen, again, it speaks volumes about what these players, these young players, see in not only Roma's project and Monchi, and Di Francesco, after, you know, the season they had in the Champions League last year, but also what they see in the opportunity that Italy, Italian football, presents to them. I think, again, look, I can look at several different players. I think one of the biggest ones that, you know, to keep an eye on in terms of transfers and in terms of the impact it could have is Fabian Ruiz, the Real Betis midfielder who Napoli purchased. They activated his 30 million euro release clause. He's a guy that's very young, very promising. He's got tremendous upside. He's definitely got a future with the national team, the Spanish national team, that goes without saying. He's the guy that I think, you know, a lot of people should keep an eye on, because this seems like it could be a slam dunk move for them, and it could be a move that really makes them perhaps quickly forget about the loss of Jorginho, although they still have to establish who's going to play that deep lying playmaker role, the regista, whether it be Hamsik or, excuse me, Diawara, who's also a great, great talent that we have to see more of. I hope to see more of this year. But you could even look at, you know, what Roma have done. The Cristante is a good addition. He moved the needle last year in terms of his career. He found stability in his career at Atalanta under Gasparini these past couple of years. He made the big move that his career needed, 30 million euro move to Roma. Ante Koric is another one who's a young player, young Croatian talent. So Justin Kluivert is another one from Ajax who, again, had interest abroad. And again, there's the connection between him and his father to Serie A. That's always going to be a great one. So I think Roma have quite a bit of guys to keep an eye on this year, as do Napoli with Ruiz, of course. But then you could even look at Inter. You mentioned him, Lautaro Martinez. When those guys are... I saw what he was doing last year throughout the season. Dortmund wanted him really badly, it appears, but he was invested in Inter's project, and it's easy to be invested in Inter's project because they're on the rise right now. They've had a track record with having Argentine players in their team, and you have a guy like Mauro Riccardi who's continually scoring goals year in and year out. That's only bodes well for his future. Now, whether or not Spalletti goes with two strikers at once, that remains to be seen, but I think you can speak more on this than I can, in that Martinez is a guy that's not just confined to the box. He's a guy that can do a little bit more. He's a good link-up player. He's quick. He's good with his feet. He can maybe play a little bit out wide. He can play next to Mauro Riccardi and complement him in that regard, and maybe help him get a little bit more service and a little bit more touches on the ball in dangerous areas, and be that prolific score more goals than what we're accustomed to seeing from him, although he's always at the top top of the scoring charts. So there's I can go on and on about some of the names and some of these additions that these clubs have made, and we're not even done yet. Joaquin Correa could be another one from Lazio coming back to Italy after a couple of years in Spain with Sevilla. I remember he was at Sampdoria. It's still very raw with the Sevilla, and he's still kind of a little bit of an inconsistent player, but the talent is obvious. And if Simone Inzaghi could have that impact on him that maybe he had on Luis Alberto, that could be a slam dunk deal for them for sure.
No, definitely, definitely. And Joe, what's transfer you're most excited for?
You know, obviously, as a Juventino, the Ronaldo one is mine. But if I take myself out of the Juventus picture, for me, Matt actually mentioned it. It's the Justin Kluivert one for me. Got to watch him play for Ajax, you know, the past couple of years, especially when they made that deep run in the Europa final against Manchester United a couple of years ago. And the kid was an absolute stud. And I'm interested to see, I mean, not that the Serie A is much more defensive. I know it has a reputation of being more defensive. And certainly the quality of defense in the Serie A is going to be much higher than the quality that we're going to see in the Dutch league. But I want to see how this kid grows from this point. I believe, if I remember correctly, he's only 19 years old. And I think they got a good price on him at £15.1 million. I think for a player of his upside, I think it's going to be fantastic to watch. I'm excited for the Lautaro Martinez move, Rob, as you and I have talked about before. And like Matt has mentioned, his ability not only to play centrally and maybe not necessarily conflict with Icardi, but maybe play with him, but is also his ability to get wide, I think is going to be very, very interesting to see how he pairs into Spalletti's system. You hope that we don't see another repeat of Gabigol, which I don't think we will. I think this kid is a little more promising to me, and he's going to be interesting to watch. But for me, the big move is the Justin Kluivert one. Let's move ahead now and look at the teams, at the top teams in the league, and see how we think they'll progress. And I want to start, obviously, with some of the ones at the bottom of the Europa League positions. We talked about AC Milan, who has certainly had a quote-unquote subdued transfer window compared to last year. But, Matt, I think you mentioned that the potential of the Arturo Vidal transfer coming back in. We also talk about Leo Bonucci, which came up lately, which I think is going to be interesting. And I want to ask you about this one quickly, Matt, because Bonucci currently is the captain of AC Milan. He left Juventus somewhat on bad terms with Max Allegri. You know, there was some infighting going on there. He moves on. He goes to AC Milan. He's interested in their project. You got to remember, that's a year. They also spent, I want to say, upwards of €200 million on the transfer market. They went absolutely crazy bringing in everybody they could find. And the grass wasn't greener on that side. Now, Gennaro Gattuso came in for Montella. He's kind of turned them around. They look much, much better to close the season. I think many would agree with that. But now we hear rumblings that Bonucci wants to move back to Juventus. There's talks of possibly Higuain going. There's back in return. There's talks of Daniele Rugani, although they want Mattia Caldara to come over, which Juve has said is untouchable. So, looking at this from the AC Milan standpoint, Matt, which I know you're very familiar with, how does the Bonucci request to go back to Juventus affect the team as a whole, affect what they even do in the transfer window?
Well, I mean, look, it's what it does at this point. I think the only way it'll drastically affect Milan as a unit and Gattuso as a coach is if they don't get a guy of at least somewhat similar quality in terms of a defender. Now, again, despite his struggles last year, Bonucci is still one of the top defenders in world football. Goes without saying, he's great with the ball at his feet. His passing verticality that he provides to any team and provides to Milan, and what he provided to Juve for the better part of their sixth Scudetto run. It goes without saying he's still a great defender and he's still in the prime of his career. However, if Milan are able to get a younger central defender to pair with Romagnoli, a guy like Mattia Caldara, who many observe along with Romagnoli as two pillars for the national team, I think most Milan fans would be very happy with that move. Again, there are some people that are attached to Leonardo Bonucci just for the simple fact that he's the captain. He's a very big name. He's a prominent name in Europe. He's got the trophy, so you really don't want to lose a guy like that, because not to mention, you know, to lose a guy like that after 1 year, it kind of takes a little bit of a blow to their image, and that they can't keep star players. People want to leave the project. They don't believe in the team. So I think that's also what's kind of weighing on the minds of many Milan fans. But from my perspective, if they're able to get a guy like Mattia Caldaro in return for Leonardo Bonucci, I think they would definitely do that trade. And of course, if it means that they get a guy like Gonzalo Higuain to help shore up the attack, I think you take that with goes without saying. Milan have struggled to get production at the striker position since Ibrahimovic was sold in 2012. So if you can get a guy like Higuain, at the very least, yeah, it'll cost you. His wages will be pretty high. He's looking for around 6.5-7 million euro per year. So you're going to have to pay him. It goes without saying. But you get what you pay for, right? If you want a guy who's going to get 20 goals per year, like we've seen with Gonzalo Higuain for the better part of 6 years, split between Juve and Napoli, you got to pay the money. And look, again, he's a little bit older. I think Milan, there's reports that they wanted a younger profile. Elliot was looking for someone like Alvaro Morata, but their valuation of him is just way too high at this point. Let's be real here. 65 to 70 million euro for a guy that you just paid that fee for last year, and he really struggled to do anything of note. So if I'm looking at this from Milan's Milan fans' perspective, I think, look, a swap of Bonucci for Caldara would make sense. Now, having said that, Milan are in a difficult spot here with Bonucci, because it's obvious with the quotes that Leonardo, the newly hired sporting director, came out with today, is that he pretty much said that Bonucci, he wants to leave. Bonucci wants to go back to Juve. He likes the idea of a return after 1 year. Now that kind of puts Milan in a spot where Juve can look at Milan's situation and say, we know your captain wants to leave. He wants to come back. You don't want to keep an unsettled player, because that can obviously have a big effect on what type of performance we see from him. So now Milan have to kind of balance that. And I just hope that that doesn't have a big effect on what they're able to do with on the market here. Because if they are pressed into selling Bonucci at a pretty big discount than what they paid last year, that can have a big toll on what they're able to do with the rest of the market, because they do have needs at winger. They do need some additional midfielder, and they do, of course, need a striker. So it's going to be interesting to see. My hope is that Leonardo has the savviness and the experience, and he's able to get a good deal for, get a good central defender in a situation where if Bonucci does leave, they aren't lacking. Because if you obviously look, Romagnoli took great strides last year next to Bonucci, and if you have to bring in a guy like Musacchio, who, although very talented, we still have to kind of see how he adapts over a course of a full season in Italy, because he really didn't play all that much last year. So it's going to be interesting to follow, but I think, look, Milan fans, they're kind of still on edge. They really don't know what the rest of the summer is going to hold, what type of budget they have to work with. Leonardo pretty much said, they're going to try to make some moves, but they may not be able to make any big moves. Now, whether that's just keeping his cards close to his chest, that's a one thing. But again, we'll have to kind of keep a close eye on this, because at one point we thought, maybe Milan were going to be banned from Europa League, and looked as though that was going to be the case. Now, all of a sudden, a complete reversal with Elliot involved changed the minds, and now all of a sudden they're reinstated back into European competition for this year. So I always say to people, whether it's bad or good, Milan are always involved in the headlines, and they're always taking the headlines and clicks and all that stuff. So again, this is just something to keep an eye on, and I'm sure we'll talk about it over the next several weeks as we get closer to the season, but also as we wind down with the window.
And I also think that, keeping Milan in the headlines and a strong Milan is not only good for Serie A, but good for European football too. As a perennial champion in the 90s and the 2000s, I think football is better when Milan is better. So I think as long as they get it pointed in the right direction without the distraction of Bonucci, I think they're in good shape. Let's talk about their counterparts now in the same stadium, and that is Inter Milan. Obviously some rumblings that Spalletti could have been considered for the national team job. He stays. They bring in somebody like Rajan Nainggolan, really locks up that midfield. They bring in Lautaro Martinez. I want to throw it over to you, Rob. In the second year of the Spalletti project, do you think this is going in the right direction for them?
Absolutely. I think when they're looking at the ambition of them, obviously, they did finish fourth last season, and I think that was the main goal for them at the start of the season, to get back to the European competitions, but I think more importantly, to go to the Champions League. I mean, they have been, I guess, flirting with Europa League for the last few seasons, but I think the main ambition, especially with the new owners and, having a new ambitious manager like Spalletti, is to go to the Champions League, and they were able to do that. And I think that they were able to just keep a lot of their core, but also bring in some important players. You mentioned players like Rajan Nainggolan, but you mentioned the players such as Ivan Perisic staying. You look at Gagliardini, Vecino, Brozovic, João Mario, Miranda. Steven de Vrij is another transfer that they made. And, of course, the introduction of Lautaro Martinez to the team. They're really keeping that core, but also trying to fix the spots that they want to be fixed. And I think that's their main ambition in the end. I mean, that's what they're trying to do here, is to, you know, get back to what they were, but also have the ambition to do well in the Champions League and to really do something that, you know, that hasn't been seen, and provide a new look into that, you know, would be great for them in the end. But having said that, you know, there is another team that did impress in this Champions League last season, at least, is Roma. Obviously, you know, Roma are another team that under Eusebio Di Francesco are really looking to, you know, one-up themselves after their amazing semifinal run. You know, they did unfortunately lose Alisson, who was one of their best players on the team. They got Robin Olsen, who had a great World Cup with Sweden, but they did, as you said, Matt, include players like Justin Kluivert. You know, they put in Javier Pastore. They did a lot of spending in this transfer window that, you know, you have to say that this team is being really, really serious and really trying to battle it out, not just in Serie A, but also to try and do it again in the Champions League. I mean, what are your thoughts quickly on that, Matt?
Well, I mean, I'm sorry, what was the question? I couldn't hear you. You got a little bit of a mix-up with this volume here.
No, that's fine. I was just saying that, you know, this Roma side is obviously ambitious, and you know, despite losing their big piece like Alex and, you know, getting those types of transfers, you know, that they are really serious of trying to achieve something again and to one-up themselves of what they were able to do in the Champions League last season. You know, are we seeing that again, and do you feel that they still have the right pieces to one-up themselves and obviously go for that Champions League title?
Look, I think it's what Roma accomplished last year was, I'm not going to, you know, discredit them in any way thinking that was just a, you know, a mirage, if you will. I think it's very difficult to constantly make those runs, excuse me, deep in this tournament, just for the simple fact that, again, a lot has to go your way in terms of the draws. You know, obviously decisions on the field, performance by certain players, match fitness, all these different factors come into play. I mean, no one really expected Roma to have that, to overturn that deficit they had with Barcelona in historic fashion and go advance past them. So I think to expect something like that again is just unrealistic. I think the biggest thing that Roma fans want from their team is just consistency year in and year out, you know, finishing top four, you know, maybe flirting a little bit again if there's an opportunity to do it with a Scudetto, but making good quality runs in the Champions League. And then they did that last year. I think, you know, they kind of embraced that underdog reputation early on when the draw was made for the Champions League. Everyone saw Chelsea, the reigning champions of the Premier League, Atletico Madrid, a bona fide powerhouse, a team that's made several Champions League finals the past handful of years. And they always said, Roma is going to finish third. They're going to drop to the Europa League, and then away we go. They want not only advancing out of the group, but winning the group over those two teams. So, again, whether what Di Francesco can do in year two of this project, we still have to kind of see. When you lose a guy like Alisson Becker for a big fee, it's never easy, because we obviously know how important that goalkeeper position is nowadays with regards to the involvement in the buildup and X, Y, and Z. But then again, you can also make the argument, right, you know what, they sold Mohamed Salah. They lost a big-time player, and they actually had a better season without him in all competitions. So whether the same is going to apply this year, not too sure. But again, Roma fans, I think if you ask most of them, they just want that consistency in competing for trophies and consistently meeting objectives. Again, top four, deep runs in the Champions League, maybe a quarterfinal run. I think that would be a realistic feat for them. But I think, again, it's just really – it's until – Roma, in my opinion, this is just how I see it, until they are able to get that stadium situation established and get that stadium up and running, similar to the way that Juve have been able to do, where they're really just a money-making machine as a club and really as an organization, as a business, I think Roma fans have to kind of just say, you know what, we just want to keep competing, and then when we get to that phase where we're self-sufficient and we can, you know, maybe have that extra money in the bank to kind of push forward and, you know, push for more trophies and more and higher ambitions, then we'll do it. But looking for Roma, I think it's quite clear that they're a very good team. They're a team that has a lot of young talent, and I think their project is a very appealing for young players, and it's only going to continue to stay that way. When you get guys like Kluivert, you get guys like Koric, Cristante for 30 million, Patrick Schick last year, who was close to Juve, went to Roma. again, there's players that see a lot of value in what Roma are doing, aside from the fact that, again, Rome is such a, you know, historic city. The football's pretty good too there, and again, it's good for Serie A that a team like Roma are back to being, you know, right where they should be, which is among the top three, top four teams in Italy.
Right. Let's look at Napoli now. Let's go into the top two now with Napoli. Obviously, like we said, with 91 points last year, kind of a hard luck loser in second place in the Serie A. They lose Jorginho, who's their metronome that we talked about before. They also lose Maurizio Sarri, and they bring in Carlo Ancelotti instead. Matt, I want to go to you first, because one of the criticisms of Sarri is that he never rotated his players, and because of that, they seem to tire towards the end of the season. Now you bring in Ancelotti, you do lose a huge piece in Jorginho, but like you said, they bring in Fabian Ruiz, who's a fantastic player. They bring in Simone Verdi as well. Is Napoli set, especially with Ancelotti, to make that next leap, especially outdo their performance that they had in Champions League last year?
Well, it's interesting because there was two sides of the Maurizio Sarri at Napoli situation, not situation, but his reign there, if you will, his era was, oh, he played such aesthetically pleasing football. It was attractive. It got a lot of retweets, Sarismo, Sarri ball, whatever you want to call it, but it didn't yield a trophy. And I think there's also two ways to look at it where you're saying, okay, well, is it really that big of a deal if it doesn't get... it doesn't produce the results, because at the end of the day, there was matches where Juve looked so poor, but wound up getting the result, and they actually wound up winning the Scudetto in the end. So there's two sides to look at that. Now, again, you do lose a guy like Sarri, where the system and the team was really built around him. I mean, if you remember, you look at, you know, just over the past several years, the players he acquired, or that De Laurentiis acquired for a reason, where so he can play his brand of football, have it effective, have it be efficient, have it be just kind of a well-oiled machine, choreography, if you will. But now when you take him out of the equation and you bring in a guy like Ancelotti, who, in my opinion, is not as tactically in that type of field. I mean, I think he obviously knows tactics. He's a Champions League winner, for crying out loud, so he knows what he's doing. But I think Ancelotti brings a little bit of a different mindset to the Napoli bench, in that he has that CV where he knows what it takes to win the major trophies domestically and on the European stage. So there's also that aspect of it that you have to look at as well. If Napoli are able to, you know, they may not play the same attractive brand of football. I think they're going to play good football because they have good players and they have a good coach. But if they're able to compete for a Scudetto, then there's going to be or be right there for a Scudetto, maybe not win it. Or if they do win it, then people are going to say, look, you had all this praise for Sarri, you couldn't win. Now all of a sudden you're bringing Ancelotti, and he wins the title for you. It's going to be interesting to see how people compare the two throughout the season, because then they're going to say, well, did Napoli make a mistake in not keeping Sarri or trying to keep him around instead going with Ancelotti? But nonetheless, if you really look at it, the fact that a guy like Carlo Ancelotti is back in Italy is great. I would have loved him for the national team, but the fact that we're getting these big-name coaches back into Italy, you got Allegri, who had turned down Real Madrid, you had Carlo Ancelotti, who won at Real Madrid, he won at PSG, won at Bayern Munich, Milan, wherever he coached, that's what this league needs. Aside from the fact, again, we mentioned at the top of the podcast, where the incoming players, and the guys like Ronaldo and Pastore, you know, Roger Nainggolan staying, Lautaro Martinez, you know, X, Y, and Z, we can go on and on and on. It's also the managers, too. And we get a guy like Ancelotti, it's going to bring attention. It's going to make for an interesting, you know, entire season. So, look, this Serie A season, it's going to be tough for the Serie A season to surpass what we just saw last year. But I'm up for it. I hope it actually does, because I think it would be great for the league. Then it would show a trending upward, if you will. It would show that the league's trending upward, excuse me, and that it's not just a kind of a one-year thing and then it's going to kind of fall back down to earth. I think Serie A is on the rise, and when you get a guy like Ancelotti in the mix, along with, like, obviously Ronaldo being here, it's going to make Serie A that much more interesting this year, despite the fact, again, they did lose Sarri, but again, the personalities are there and the players are there, and Serie A, it's on the rise, whether people like to agree with me or not.
Absolutely, but of course there is one giant that has to be taken out of, and that's Juventus, you know, going in for their 8th straight Scudetto. And, you know, simply put, Joe, I mean, this team has it all. I mean, yes, they do have a good goalkeeper. Obviously, it's going to be big to replace such a good goalkeeper like Gigi Buffon, who is essentially an icon, not just in Juventus history, but also in Italian and world football in general. You know, you have Wojciech Szczesny coming in. You have Mattia Perin being that understudy. You look at the defense, where, you know, it is kind of a mix. Okay, we have to see what happens with Bonucci and see if that transfer goes through. But still a good team, you know, with Chiellini, with De Sciglio, Benatia, Alessandro at the wings with Cancelo, Rugani if he stays, Spinazzola. You look at the midfield when you look at Pjanic, who's hopefully ready to stay, albeit the rumors of him leaving, you know. But you still have players like Matuidi, who's coming off a World Cup win. You have the new transfers of Emre Can. You have Juan Cuadrado. You have Bentancur, Rodrigo Bentancur, who's coming off a really good World Cup and, you know, is really trying to establish himself as one of the top midfielders at this club. And, of course, the attack, I mean, it goes without saying. You know, Gonzalo Higuain, Paulo Dybala, Douglas Costa, Mario Mandzukic, Federico Bernardeschi, and, of course, Cristiano Ronaldo. I mean, this team definitely has it all to not just win the Scudetto yet again for an 8th straight year, but also to go for that treble. This team does have the potential. For me, I think they are the favorites to win the Champions League right now. That's my hot take at the moment. I think they have the great team for it, but, you know, Joe, simply put, no one can stop this team, can they?
First of all, how do you forget Juan Guillermo Cuadrado in your list? Of all people, you know, talk about the guy that brings the salsa to the table. He's definitely the one. But yeah, I agree.
Of course, you have to mention him.
I agree with you. I mean, this Cristiano Ronaldo move is strictly Champions League focus. And it's amazing to say this because, you know, you're talking about a guy like Gigi Buffon, who's won the World Cup. Andrea Pirlo has won the World Cup. He's also won the Champions League. You had Dani Alves, won the World Cup. He's won the Champions League. You know, you've had all these great players that have been proven winners in their careers. And it just never seemed like, you always felt like you had a good chance, especially when they moved through the Champions League. And then even in getting into those two finals, you felt like they had a chance. You know, not that they were out of their element. But this time, this Ronaldo move is different, and it really shows that Juve is focused on winning that Champions League. They want the trophy with the big ears, and they don't, and not that they don't want the Scudetto, and I don't even know that the Scudetto is something that they assume they're going to win, because you look at the team and all the players that you mentioned, all the midfielders, Emre Can, Sami Khedira, Miralem Pjanic, Claudio Marchisio, you know, all these midfielders that they currently have in stock. This team is poised and built to make deep runs everywhere, and I think I'm hoping we get something similar of a season that we got last year. Although for me, it's not good for my heart condition, of course, you know, having to watch Juve, you know, nail bite it to the very end of the season. But I think it's good for football. I mean, there was something to watch when you looked at some of these other leagues, you know, although they were entertaining in and amongst themselves, they were done. And they were done early. And we look back at Italy, and like Matt said, we were so focused on the top of the table, we forgot there was a race at the bottom. And it just shows you, you know, when a team or when a league is well-balanced and entertaining, it attracts not only the eyes of the people, but it attracts the money and it attracts the players. And I think Juve have taken advantage of that to some extent with Cristiano Ronaldo and some of the other moves that they've made to, even though losing a legend in Gigi Buffon, they have reinvigorated themselves to the point where you look at them and you're like, yeah, this team can win the Champions League. And I think right now you have to consider them one of the top two, maybe three favorites to win the entire Champions League and even make a run at the treble along. You put Barcelona in that mix. You'd actually put PSG in that mix, depending on what happens with Cavani. But I think Juve is one of those top two or three teams right now where you look at them and say, yeah, they have the opportunity to win everything. So that leads me into my final question for both of you gentlemen. Matt, I'm going to go to you first. It's prediction time before we close out the show here. And I want to ask you, Matt, first, let's talk about your Capocannoniere. We've talked about some great goal scorers here so far. Mauro Icardi. We've talked about Gonzalo Higuain. You know, we seem to forget about some of the other goal scorers that have been around, like Ciro Immobile, that has popped in a few goals over the years. So for you, Matt, who do you feel is going to win the goal scoring title this year in the Serie A?
Ooh, that's a tough one because I, off the top of my head, I'd probably say I have three, four names.
Yeah.
I don't see Dries Mertens. I'm going to rule him out, but just because I think Arik Milik is going to have a little more of a bigger role this year. I think he's going to be healthy. I think they're going to keep him. Barring in, of course, any addition of Edison Cavani, if he was coming, I'd probably put him in there. But my top three, I don't know how to categorize these guys because it's so difficult, because I really want to see what the rest of the summer holds for some of these teams. I think Mauro Icardi is going to have a lot more around him. He's going to have Perisic, obviously, still, but he's also going to have Nainggolan. He's not going to be left out on an island as much as he was at certain parts last year. I mean, if we remember, he really pretty much carried Inter for the most part offensively, something along the lines of 42% of Inter's actual goal output, which is staggering if you really think about it, how dependent they were on him. I don't think that's going to be the case this year, but I also think he's going to get more service, and I think he's going to get more opportunity. As for Ciro Immobile, I think he's going to have a, I think he's going to take a little bit of a dip. I just don't see him, you know, scoring as many goals as he did last year. He's still going to have a very good year for Lazio. He's still going to be very influential into what they want to accomplish. And then there's obviously Mr. CR7, Cristiano Ronaldo at Juve, who many people are probably, you know, the odds makers, if you're a betting man, I'm sure they're pretty good, or that he's going to be the Capo Canieri this year in his first year in Italy, which would be wouldn't surprise really much anybody, if you guys can agree with me. But I'm going to go with Mauro Riccardi as the Capo Canieri, to wrap up my answer here, because I think that with Juve, if you're looking at Ronaldo, I think the two favorites right now are probably Icardi and Ronaldo. But if you're looking at Juve, I think that goals are going to be a little bit more dispersed out at Juve. And what I mean by that is you got Costa, you have even Sami Khedira had 9 goals last year. Like, the fact that you're getting 9 goals from a midfielder who really didn't start every game, it's just crazy to think about that. But I think you have Dybala, you have Bernardeschi, you have Cuadrado. There's so many different guys who could score for Juve, which I think, again, Ronaldo is going to have. He's going to have probably around 20-something, 25 goals domestically. I think all competitions, 40. But I think, again, if you're looking at just the goal-scoring race in general, I think Mauro Icardi has, in my opinion, the slight upper hand, only because everything's going to continue to run through him in terms of the goal production. So if I had to say right now, I think Mauro Icardi is going to edge out Ronaldo just barely. But again, it could be, if you ask me tomorrow, my answer could be different.
Well, it sounds like we're in for a race. Rob, how about you? Same question. Who wins?
I think we're in for a race as well in the Coppa Italia. We saw last season, you know, we saw that with Icardi and Immobile, and I think we're going to see it again for Icardi. And I think again, you know, I think it would be sensational, and also wouldn't be a surprise if Ronaldo wins Capo Canyonieri. But for me, I'm going to have to agree with Matt here. I think the goals will be much more spread out in Juventus because of the attacking options that they had. And I think Mauro Icardi wins his second straight Capo Canyonieri and edges Ronaldo off by just a few goals.
Well, I'm going against both of you because, I mean, we're talking about a guy that absolutely dies to have the spotlight on him. I mean, how many times have we seen the Real Madrid locker room pictures of every player completely clothed and him standing there in his underwear? This guy wants the spotlight, and he'll do everything possible to get there. I'm putting my money on CR7, and Matt, I think you're right. I think the odds are going to be real short on him, but how can they not be? The guy turns in 20 to 30 goals domestically every year, 40 plus every year completely in a full season. So it's hard to argue against him, and it's hard to argue against Icardi. I think there's something like I think he scores on like 80% of his touches. It was some kind of ridiculous.
And he's also very good inside the box, Mike. I think he's inside the box. I think he's the best striker in the world.
Oh, absolutely.
I think the biggest thing, though. I'm sorry to interrupt. I think the biggest thing with my concern, not concern, because I kind of hope he doesn't score that many goals, Ronaldo. He's going to do it anyway, but what I see with Ronaldo is that space going to be there for him? Like, is it the space, and what I mean by space is because we all know how challenging it could be for, you know, players to adapt to the Italian game. Sometimes that space that's in other leagues, like, you know, maybe La Liga or the Premier League, isn't there in Italy. And I think, you know, every time we hear quotes from players, you know, whether it be Ronaldo, whether it be, you know, just players who have played previously in Italy and they go abroad and they get a test of what all the other leagues are about, they always say that Italy's very challenging. And I think that could be something that's kind of difficult for Ronaldo at first, maybe, or have his difficulties dealing with, is that, yes, there's going to be some of these teams where he's going to bury 3-4 goals in, and it's going to be, you know, just a madhouse beating by Juve on the upper hand. But there's also going to be that part where it's saying, you know, maybe Ronaldo's not going to have that same exact space centrally that he did in Spain, because, again, it's going to take some time to adapt. You know, it's a different league, different style of play. So that's also just something to keep in mind. Again, we know what Icardi's capable of doing, and I think that's why that's kind of where I feel a little bit more confident going with him. Mm-hmm. Again, who really knows? If Napoli start throwing that, there's that Inter have to play another competition, maybe that has an effect on Mauro Icardi in the league because it's another game they have to balance, whereas Juve, they can rest Ronaldo because they have other options, or they can kind of, you know, plan it a little bit differently because they have the luxury of different strikers. You know, Mandzukic is another one that they have there as well who's going to be scoring. So it's going to be interesting to see, but that's just something I wanted to point out. That is it's going to be a challenge for Ronaldo to produce the way he did in a Liga.
Yeah, definitely, especially with the multiple scoring options on multiple levels at Juve. That certainly goes without saying. So let's get to it now in our final prediction. And that's the champion. Rob, we're going to let our guest go last. So, Rob, I'm going to let you go first, man. Who do you think? Are we looking at an 8th straight Scudetto? Is somebody else going to knock Juve off their high perch? Who wins it this year?
Oh, man. Wow. I mean, look, what we saw last season was a really, really good race. And I really hope we see it again with teams like Napoli, Roma. You know, we're going to see what the Milan teams are doing. We'll see what the Rome teams are doing. You know, can't forget Lazio. You know, I would love to see another great race in Serie A, but I think that, you know, with the domination that this team has on all fronts, that, you know, and Joe, you're going to definitely like my answer, Juventus are going to win their 8th straight Scudetto this season.
So Matt, same question to you. You know, what are your thoughts on the champion?
It's Juve. It's the old lady at the Bianconeri, Allianz Stadium. Owners, whoever you want to call them, it's going to be Juve. Look, I think they're going to win their 8th. I feel that while it was very close last year with Napoli, I give Napoli a ton of credit for the way they were able to kind of keep chase with Juve. Even remember that game against Juve in the last part of the season, where they were able to close the gap. Koulibaly had that game-winning header in the dying moments, which was insane at Allianz Stadium. I think it's just difficult when you get a guy like Ronaldo. You can't possibly see them. You could, if anything, you see him getting more points. Now, I think, again, I do think it's going to be a lot tighter. I think that Juve are going to be, they're the favorites. I think they're going to win. I'd probably say they're going to win by maybe 6 points. I would say 6-7 points. I feel comfortable with that number. But I think there's going to be two through four is going to be so interesting. And there's going to be a lot of those 2 through 4 teams that make it really difficult on Juve throughout the season. I think there's a possibility where, again, we see what Juve, sometimes in Joe, you can agree or disagree on this, is that Juve sometimes start kind of slow. They have some games where they kind of struggle to find their zone. But then Allegri, as he always mentions, that the season's kind of split into two. And Juve always seem to kick on and hit their best form at the last, you know, 2 to 3 months of the season, and they really just kind of put their foot down and kind of, you know, stake their claim, you know, put their flag in the ground, whatever you want to call it, and take dominance and take, you know, command of what they want, and that is the title. So for me, I think it's going to be an 8th straight for Juve. But again, I think it's going to be a great chase for the beginning part of the season. I think that it can be really close, but I think eventually Juve's depth, their experience, their quality first and foremost, and of course their manager, Massimiliano Allegri, I think they're going to eventually push forward and they're going to kind of separate themselves and kind of finish with a relatively big cushion of 6 to 7 points and win their 8th.
Couldn't agree with you more. You know, the thing with Juve is they start to heat up right around, like, say, the end of October, right when we first hit that first or second match in the Champions League group stages, and then they seem to get it really steamrolling sometime around February and into March, where even if they have a small hiccup, they seem to come back from that hiccup with a vengeance. I agree with you. I also agree that I think Juve is going to win it. But the one prediction that I want to make is, I know it was a two-team race last year with Napoli really pushing the sled there for Juve. I really feel like this Inter Milan side did so much good business in this window with the addition of Martinez, with the addition of Nainggolan, which also in turn weakens another rival in Roma. I really expect to see more of a three-team race. I think we're going to see Inter start to stick their nose into it. Not to say that Roma will be, you know, far behind, but I think you're going to see a lot more out of Inter, more than what you've seen in the past few seasons, and I think you'll see them kind of stick their nose into this race for quite some time, and maybe even as they run through the Champions League, I think they need to put everybody on notice. So, Gentlemen, I do want to thank you both for a great breakdown of the 2018-2019 Serie A season. So for Mr. Matthew Santangelo from Italian Football Daily and Mr. Roberto Rojas, I am your host, Joe Uccello. Thanks for listening, everyone, and good night.